We'll read these verses responsively. I'll read the first verse, or I'll read the second verse together, and so on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Let's read these verses together. All together. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for a copy of your word. I pray this simple truth would really just be rooted and grounded in us, and we would do as we are supposed to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, we see Paul exhorting Timothy to continue on in the things that he has been taught. Now, Timothy was one who learned a great deal from Paul. He also learned a great deal from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice about what the Bible has to say, and he was to be committed to the teaching that he had received. He is told that what he has learned from the Bible, he is to continue in those things. He is not to stray from what he has been taught. He is to believe it, and he is to put it into practice. Now, the truth imparted to him by grandma and upon his mother's knee and confirmed by the apostle Paul had not changed. It had not changed from the first time he heard it, and it would not change all the days of his life. He is to continue in it, for it tells us what is right, where we are wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. Paul is telling Timothy, you need to stay committed to the Word of God. You need to lay hold on it, much like Eliezer's hand clave to the sword, for it has not, nor ever will change, for it endureth forever. The world may change. People won't remain the same. But the Word will last, for God has preserved it. So Timothy, continue in it. For the Bible will always be relevant. For God didn't write a book that has an expiration date on it. For its truth remains. Not one jot, not one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Timothy, there's no reason to change. Just continue on. Be committed to what you have learned from Paul, from grandma, and from mother who taught you what thus saith the Lord. Timothy, stick to the old paths. Don't move those ancient landmarks. Just stay by the stuff. It doesn't matter if it's popular, if others oppose you for your biblical stands, or turn away from you for staying true for the faith once delivered to the saints. Timothy, continue on. Don't change the truth that has been given to you. You were taught right by people who took care not to make any changes in what we are to believe and how we are to behave biblically. They have passed on the very same things that they themselves received. And Timothy, you are to do the same. It'll not be easy for you to do so. There will always be those who will pressure you to adopt to the culture and to the times in which you live. But Timothy, don't give in. Don't give up. And don't give out. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hang in there. For you don't want to hang your head in shame, before your Savior if you are one that is given to change. In face of peer pressure from his family and friends, Timothy, continue doing the same things. Walk the straight and narrow way in spite of evil men and seducers who are waxing worse and worse. Timothy, run the race. Keep looking unto Jesus. Continue to believe what you have been taught. Behave what you believe and build yourself up in the most holy faith. It's the Holy Scriptures, Timothy, that are the solid rock of truth upon which we are to build our lives on. The world with its glitz and glam, the devil with his temptation, and the flesh with its lust may be gunning for your attention, but we must lay hold of the truth of Scripture as our firm foundation. Timothy, continue in what you have been taught by others who followed Christ without compromise. We are continue to in this great book that we call the Bible, the divine library of 66 books. Indeed, Timothy, you as well as us can continue, for we have been taught by others, and what we have been taught has come from God's unchanging word. You see, Timothy, it's settled forever. It's incorruptible. It's without error. It needs no variation, no deviation, nor does it need to be rewritten. Now, it certainly needs to be reread, reapplied, but never refuted. It is the sole authority for faith and practice. And folks, I'm here to tell you, we need to continue. We need to continue with the King James Bible. You say, what about the New King James? If it's new, it ain't good. Well, it's nothing wrong with the King James Bible. Not anything. When I first got saved, I was taught that the King James Bible was the only book God wrote. It was preserved, and it was inspired. Brother Stuckey preached the Word. He instructed us in the Word. And you know what? He never corrected the Word. You say, why is that? Because it needs no correction. He was not a prideful Bible corrector, a deceived Bible denier, nor some doctor casting doubt on what thus saith the Lord. He was dogmatic, he was decisive, and he wouldn't decline one iota from what was written in the Word. I was firmly rooted and grounded in the faith under his ministry, and I am bound and determined to continue with the King James Bible. I remember, after I got saved, a couple of guys I worked with telling me that there were other Bibles that were more up to date than my King James Bible. And I thought to myself, I never knew it went out of date. One guy thought he was going to trip me up by saying, you probably think you're using the same Bible that the Apostle Paul did. I said, yes, but mine happens to be in English. Does not Peter tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth, what? Forever. Is it not written in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You say, well, the Scriptures were originally in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. I know. And God sure had a difficulty giving his words in those languages, didn't he? Why is it we can't believe that he has given us an unflawed, unassailable, unfeigned copy of his word in English? What's so difficult about that? There are plenty of people who were taught this, but they failed to continue in this truth. I was even told by one preacher that he used to believe like I did before he went to seminary. Both are the same thing. You know what I told this guy? I said, you've been educated beyond your intelligence. I've met people who say such slanderous things about the Bible, like it contains so many mistakes, so many contradictions. And when they say that, I usually just hand them a Bible and say, hey, can you show me one? Just one. If it contains so many, please just show me one. Right. Not once have I ever had anyone do so. Right. You say, why is that? Because there aren't any. Our King James Bible is under attack by infidels, scholars so falsely called, and some real rank individuals who fail to continue in the things that they learned. These compromisers who are careless with the truth and are willing to cozy up with clods now say such things as the King James Bible is not inspired. You know what they're saying? It's not God-breathed. You know what they're saying? It's not alive. It's a dead book. You know, the college I used to go to, well, when I went, they took a stand on that. Then after I left, it changed. And the preacher changed, and he said it's no longer inspired. And all the doofuses and the doofi, they went along with him because that's what he said. And if he said it, it must be true. Well, how about what God says? All Scripture? Yes. Did it say all Scripture was? No. No, is. You know what? That was the final straw for me. When they started attacking the King James Bible, you know what I did? I sent all my stuff. I got rid of it. I had a little class ring I used to wear. And I hawked it. I pawned it. I only got $70 for it. They could have got it for free. But here's the thing. I called up that college. I said, you take my name off of everything. I don't even want to be associated with you folks anymore at all. I don't want any record that I ever even walked the hallways of that place. I said, don't ever call me. I want nothing to do with you whatsoever. You say, oh, preacher, I think that's pretty harsh. You know, I think it's pretty harsh when someone attacks the Bible and other people don't stand up against it. That's what's harsh. My loyalty belongs to God and to His Word, not some stupid college with a preacher that's mocking and bringing disparaging remarks against God's Word. You say, well, I think you just got a bad attitude. Yeah, I do have a bad attitude when the Bible's being attacked. And I don't understand those who won't. There's not any more accurate translations. They just are slanderous translations. Those of us who believe we have an exact copy of the originals, now they slander us by saying, you're just one of them King James onlys. Well, count me in! Because I'm numbered amongst that crowd. I have no use for any other book that calls itself a Bible. You say, why not? Because they're imposters. They're inaccurate mistranslation. They're impure perversions. They have no place in my life. They have no place in my library, for they all contain leaven. I was saved through the message of this book. I was called to serve the Lord full time through a sermon from this book. And as a seasoned saint, I can say not once has this King James Bible steered me wrong. As there is only one holy God, there is only one holy book. And had I the tongue of angels, I could not set forth the excellency of the King James Bible. I'm a King James Bible bigot. For it is none other than the voice of him that sitteth on the throne of glory. I began my Christian life with that truth, and I'll continue it until I draw my last breath, and then I'll go to the grave clutching a copy of the King James Bible in my cold, dead hands. I will continue to make much of the Bible that God has given us. Number two, we need to continue to be in church. We need to continue to be in church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I, for one, have been extremely blessed to be in churches that were pillars and grounds of the truth. They all have been independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, devil-fighting, sin-hating, soul-winning, separated, pre-trib, pre-mill, local Baptist churches. I learned more Bible there than I ever did in Bible college, for God blesses the institution he has established and has founded upon its truth. I would be in church every time the doors were open, for I didn't want to miss out on the word being preached. Amen. Being what? Preached. I'm tired of teachers occupying pulpits. I don't need a professor. I need a preacher who lift up his voice and declare the word of God as it is, in season, out of season. I want to see a preacher get behind the pulpit, be like an old lawnmower. A little smoke. Amen. Loud without an exhaust. And I even want to see a little fire coming out of him once in a while. I was at church, and when I was there, I was rebuked. I was reproved, and I was also exhorted from the scriptures. It was there that I grew spiritually. It was there that I was instructed in the work of the ministry. And it was there I was given a firm foundation of the faith that I hold dear. I was taught to give, and I was taught to forgive. I was taught to how to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I was taught to love the brethren, and I was taught to keep my eyes on Jesus. I was changed, I was challenged, and I was charged to keep the flesh in check and not cheapen my testimony by being involved in some worldly activity. Since being born again, I've only belonged to Baptist churches. You know, I've often thought, what if I, when I got saved and Connie got saved, we only got saved about 2 weeks apart, but we went to a different type of church. And I was taught different things. And I would think to myself, man, we could be a hot mess. But thank God we were led to go to an independent, Elkinberry Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And we had a preacher there who rightly divided the word of truth. The King James Bible. When you look at the word Baptist, okay, I'm going to use it as an acronym. Now, the B stands for biblical authority. You see, all authority for faith and practice is found in the scriptures. It is not determined on you or what you think. It is contained right here in the Word of God, and it would do us all well to continue in it. The A stands for autonomy of the local church. Every church is to be self-governing, self-supporting, and it is to be self-propagating. You know what? We don't have a denominational headquarters. We don't need one, don't want one. We have Jesus as our headquarters, and if we get orders, we get them from the Lord. B stands for what? Biblical authority. A stands for autonomy of the local church. P Yeah, it's B-A-P. I know I often say B-A-B because that's how people look at Baptists. P is a reference to the priesthood of the believer. And that means everyone who is born again is a priest. And we all have access to the Father through the Son. Don't rob me of my priesthood of the believer. I remember one time somebody telling me, they said, you know what? Have you asked the pastor if that's what you are to do? When it came to pastor in a church, I said, what in the world do I need to ask him for? And when I said that, you'd have thought those guys would have had a heart attack. They all clutched their hearts. Well, who do you think you are? I said, I'll tell you who I think I am. I'm a priest, and I got access to the Father, and he knows what I should do. I don't need to go to that pastor and ask his permission. And I looked at them, and I said, I thought you guys were Baptists. I said, you're more Catholic than I was when I was a Catholic. T stands for two church offices. Those offices are pastor and what? Deacons. They are to be occupied by men. Then I stands for individual soul liberty. This is the belief that every individual is free to worship and believe according to the dictates of their own conscience and is answerable to Almighty God and Him alone. I cannot violate your conscience and you should never violate mine. S stands for saved membership. To be part of an independent fundamental Baptist church, you ought to be saved. Amen. You ought to be born again. You ought to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. This church demands a saved membership. Amen. T stands for two ordinances and two only. It doesn't stand for three. It stands for two. And those two ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And if you're going to be a member of this church, you need to be born again and you need to be baptized. S stands for separation of church and state. Oh, preacher, I know what that's all about. I don't think you do. You see, the church isn't supposed to run the state. Not supposed to be in charge and be the governing body. And the state, well, they have no business in the church. They don't have any business telling us what we're going to do. Listen, how many of those churches took that pandemic money? You don't think the government wants in on something? They want something for their money, and one day it's going to happen. We didn't take any, and we're not going to take any. We don't want the government in the church. Amen. Stay away. Leave us alone. Amen. Even though many today want nothing to do with the church, and a lot of reason is because of the churches aren't perfect. Well, if you ever run across a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it all up. But when you go to a church, you need to make sure that that church uses the King James Bible. Not only uses it, but believes it. You need to be in a church where the whole counsel of God is declared. Where truth from the entire book is being preached. Now, oftentimes you go to a church and you can't find anything wrong with what the preacher says. But you can find plenty wrong with what he refuses to say. Those are the type of churches you don't need to belong to. You need to go to a church that points people to Jesus. A church that's worthy of your attendance, support, and your service. Let's continue with the King James Bible. Let's continue to be in the right kind of church. And then number three, let's continue to get the gospel out. Now, some, you need to start. Those who are doing it, you need to continue. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the gospel that saves sinners and makes them saints. It takes them from hell and promotes them to heaven. From not having any hope to looking forward to the blessed hope of Jesus Christ's return. From being dead to being alive in Jesus Christ. And from being condemned to being justified from all iniquity. Listen, you don't think people need the gospel? All you have to do is go out one Saturday and go soul winning and knock on a few doors. Yes, yesterday I ran across somebody else from another church in town, and most of the people I ever ran across in that church in town had a clear testimony. This guy here knocked on his door, and he said, well, what do you want? He says, we already got a church. We go here. And I said, well, we're not here to tell you about church. We're here to ask you a question. If you die today, you're 100% certain you're going to heaven. He said, well, of course I am. I said, how do you know that? He says, well, it's easy. My wife is a missionary's kid. I'm part of a worship team. My dad is a pastor. We do all kinds of good things, and and he's just listed off time and time again. Not once did he mention Jesus. And when I tried to say, well, can I show you what the Bible says? No, I don't want to hear it. I already told you. My wife's a missionary kid. We support missions. My dad is a pastor. Blah, 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 blah. Folks, they're out there. The vast majority of people in this city are lost and undone and on their way to a devil's hell. You know, you say, well, preacher, I just don't have the motivation. That's because you have no compassion. You don't go out and you don't see people where they are. The message of salvation needs to be proclaimed in a place where the church meets. But we must go forth with the gospel into all the world like the first century church did. We are not just to be evangelistic church where people come and hear the message that Jesus saves. We are to be a soul winning church where we take the gospel to where lost sinners are and win them to Jesus. So let's hand out those gospel tracts. Let's knock on doors, and let's be of those who pray and financially support missionaries. Let's fulfill the Great Commission, be fishers of men, be ambassadors for Christ, be creature reachers, and be sowers of the gospel seed. We need to continue with our King James Bibles. We need to continue in faithful attendance to independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. We need to be in the services, and we need to continue to get the gospel out. Number four, let's continue to use the right kind of music. Let's continue to use the right kind of music. I'm talking about soul-stirring songs and hymns. I'm talking about music that is distinctly Christian and prepares the heart for preaching. We don't need, nor should we want, the kind that mixes the holy with the profane. I am not here to listen to contemporary, or should I say, contemptible Christian music. The Spirit-filled believer is one who sings psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You say, what's a psalm? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's scripture set to music. A hymn is an anthem of praise to our God, and a spiritual song is a song of testimony about what God has done. Our music is to be holy. It is to be separated from anything this world has. There are those who take some religious words and they mix them with rock music, rap music, country music, and they want to call it Christian. I'm here to tell you there's nothing Christian about it. Just because you put Christian before it doesn't make it right. Should we call it Christian adultery and make it all right? Should we call it Christian thieving and make it all right? Should we call it Christian gambling and say it's okay? Then why do we call that nonsense Christian music? When I go to church, I don't want to see a set of drums up on the platform. I don't want to see electric guitars. I don't want a worship team with the Wiggle Sisters strutting whatever stuff they think they have. Give me a song leader. Let the congregation sing. And let the piano play. Let the people open up a hymn book and lift up their voices and make a joyful noise to their God. in far too many churches. It's not facing the music that hurts. It's listening to it. Christian music is to lift our spirits. It's not a funeral dirge. And while the world sings its music, our music is to be sung by God's people. Oh, we are to continue with our King James Bible, with going to good, solid, independent, fundamental King James Bible churches. Get the gospel out. Have the right kind of music. And number five, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to pray. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that men ought always to what? And not to what? Faint. He said in Luke 11:9 and verse 10, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be, what? Open. Now, you know what that word ask means? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. And keep on knocking. I wonder how many of us have given up on prayer when God's just about ready to answer. Just one more time! And we stop. Let me tell you something. I've been praying for decades on some things. And you say, you have? Oh, yeah. And I'm still praying about it. I believe God will answer that request in His due time. But I'm not going to stop. It's still in the will of God. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. James tells us that we have not because we what? Ask not. Now, we are to pray about big things. We are to pray about little things. We are to start our day in prayer, pray throughout the day. And then, you know what? It'd be a good idea when we lay our head on our pillow at night to pray ourselves to sleep. There are times when we are to do nothing but pray. But at no time should any one of us not be on praying ground. Prayer is one of the great subjects of the Bible. You know, way back in Genesis 4:26, when Adam and Eve had a grandson named Enos, do we read of men beginning to call on the name of the Lord? You know, Abraham prayed for an heir. Isaac prayed for a wife, prayed that his wife would have children. Jacob wrestled all night with the angel of the Lord until God blessed him. Joshua prayed and the sun and the moon stood still. Gideon prayed and the fleece was wet with the dew and then the ground was dry. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. Elijah prayed and the boy came back to life. In the Psalms we read of David constantly crying out to God. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The New Testament is filled with prayer and our Savior happened to be a man of prayer. He would get up before the start of the day, before anybody else, spend time alone with the Father. And if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need it? We are to pray for daily food. For all men. For forgiveness of sin. For our enemies. To be kept from temptation. For laborers. For each other. And you know what? His house is to be a house of what? Prayer. Our God is a God who hears and answers prayer, and yet prayer is something that is more discussed than any other subject in the Bible, and yet it is least practiced. You say, how do you know that? I read a survey of church-going people years ago, and don't tell me it hasn't improved any. They said the average church-going person prays less than 5 minutes a week. We wonder why Christianity is so weak. Terrible, isn't it? When will we learn to commune with the Lord as friend with friend and realize all we miss out on for not praying as we should? You know, we have a hymn. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in what? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We need to continue with our King James Bible. We need to continue attending the right kind of independent fundamental Baptist churches. We don't need to follow our kids. We don't need to go where our grandkids go. We need to stay true to a good, solid, Bible-believing Baptist church. We need to continue to have a right kind of music. And that music comes from the hymn book. You know, when you go to church, there ought to be three books that you use. You ought to use the book, the Bible. You ought to use the hymn book, the book we sing from. And you ought to bring your checkbook and you ought to give to support the local church. We ought to continue to pray. Number six, we need to continue to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, our position needs to be right. You know, our disposition needs to be right. But if I had a choice between position and disposition, if my disposition is right, my position is wrong, or my position is right and my disposition is wrong, I'll take being a good, being solid on my position and having the wrong disposition any day of the week. But when they're both together and we speak the truth in love, by what an impact it has. We must reject any and all things that don't square with the Scriptures. Yeah, I'll never forget years ago, I had this person, went out of town, went to a different kind of church. Came back. This is what they said. They said, "Preacher, how come you never preach on that?" I said, "On what?" And they told me. I said, "You really want to know why I don't preach on that?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Because it's not in the Bible." How about that? Crazy, isn't it? We need to cling to the creation account. That God spoke 10 times, created all things in 6 literal days. There is nothing in there about evolution or devolution. God created all things in 6 literal days. We must cling to the account that God made 2 genders. He made male and female and no other. We need to cling that marriage is between a man and a woman. The only climate change there is summer, fall, winter, and spring. We don't need these climate change kooks telling us what we ought to believe. This comes from the Word of God, and that's where we're supposed to stand. We need to believe that man has a soul. It is eternal. And they will live forever, either in a place called hell or a place called heaven. And it all depends what they do with Jesus. Jesus, we need to cling to the fact that he was virgin born. That he is God in the flesh. The only Savior for sinful man. He came the first time just as promised. And he is coming again. First in his in the air for his own, then 7 years later to the earth with his own. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He will rule and reign over the world for 1,000 glorious, devil-free years. And he is preparing a new Jerusalem for his people where we will dwell with him and he will dwell with us. We are to be in this world, but we are not to be of it. We are pilgrims. And we are strangers, headed for that city whose builder and maker is God. We are to set our affections on things above. We are to live holy lives, keeping ourselves from being spotted all over by the world like a Dalmatian dog. We are to order our homes and our families aright. We are to be morally pure and not adopt the low standards being promoted by the world today. We are to speak the truth in love, be honest, and lay our all upon the altar as a living sacrifice. We are to forsake evil, even in its appearance. That means no smoking. That means no drinking. That means no profanity. That means no immodest dress. That means no gambling. That means no premarital sex. None of these things should once be named amongst the saints. Christ is to be preeminent. He is to be our first love. And we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. We are to be separated, sanctified, and salty. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. We are to have His mind and not our own. We are to go in His way and do His will. We are to embrace sound doctrine. We are to try the spirits. You say, what do you mean by that? That means, you know what, when you get a preacher up there and he preaches, you should follow along in the Bible and make sure what he's saying is true. We are to trust the Lord at all times. We are to have nothing to do with situation ethics. While others have turned away from the truth, and some are disobedient to the truth, we are to have our loins girt about with truth and be doers of it. We are to resist the devil, cleanse ourselves from all filth of the flesh and of the spirit, and live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. The faith we hold dear is to affect our conduct. It will make us more than conquerors, and this faith is worth contending for. So let's make sure our position and disposition is what it needs to be as we take a stand for the faith once delivered unto the saints. So I say to you, let's continue. Let's continue with the King James Bible and no other. You say, oh, I just use it as a reference. Get rid of it. It's not worth the trash can, but get rid of it. Throw it away. Let's continue to be faithful and supportive and serve in and through a local independent fundamental Baptist church. Let's continue to get the gospel out. Continue to have the right kind of music and lift up our voices in joyful song. Let's continue to pray, and we'll see our prayers being answered. And let's continue to contend for the faith. And when we do, let it affect our conduct as well. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed. Timothy, continue!